From imaginary stations, this is Radio Ace.
The rest of the story. Larry was born on a farm. He grew up on a farm. Yet he was a farm boy in that sense only. Otherwise, he just never quite fit in. He expected to become a farmer like his daddy and his brothers. The family was so poor that every able-bodied farmhand was needed. But Larry was different from the rest of them. Larry had an obsession with music. The others liked music, but Larry loved it so much that he would concentrate on little else. For example, at a young age, as early as 3, his older sisters recalled, Larry was trying to make musical instruments. When he was old enough to climb up into the hayloft, he would hide up there in the shadows, and from an old box and a few strands of horsehair, he would attempt to construct a violin. He had always disliked farm chores, milking in particular. So to relieve the tedium, he would manipulate the cow's udders in a lilting musical rhythm. He syncopated the squirts, and that seemed to please everyone except the cows. Annoyed by Larry's musical milking technique, the cows would slap him with their tails or even kick over the milk pails. As the years passed, Larry felt increasingly inferior to the rest of the family. Indeed, he was the smallest, the skinniest, the least adept, and in his own opinion, the least attractive of all of them. With all of the music going on in his head, he was often unable to accomplish even the simplest farm tasks. And then one hot summer night, when little Larry was 11, he awakened clutching his right side in pain. Chills and waves of nausea followed. In the morning, his parents decided he must be taken to the hospital. The nearest was 75 miles away. By the time he got there, the situation was obvious. Appendicitis. Doctors operated immediately, but not before the child's appendix had ruptured. See, there was no penicillin in those days. The only cure for blood poisoning was prayer. So Larry's family prayed through his weeks in a coma, and then months in bed, through a full year of recuperation. By this time, the youngster was back on his feet, and he'd done a lot of praying on his own. His recovery had been nothing less than a miracle. And so, having been given this second chance, little Larry became determined to spend the rest of his years as God saw fit. So guide me, the boy prayed. Use my life in ways that will please you most. Well, it has been 76 years since that prayer was first uttered in 1914, and it came to pass. This June, a group of organizers broke ground in Strasburg, North Dakota, for a museum bearing Larry's name. A museum which is going to open its doors in June of next year, and do you know that it's built on the site of that same family farm where that small boy once milked cows in musical rhythm? Little Larry might have and would have stayed there on the farm, but another path was illumined before him. A path which led the misfit farm boy away from his home and into the hearts of millions of us. Generations of television viewers have known only what they have seen on the iridescent screen. But now I hope that you will always picture a small boy in a hayloft trying to make an old box and a few strands of horsehair sing. The youngster's name, you see, was Lawrence Welk. And now you know the rest of the story.
call your lover boy.
Come here, lover boy.
And if he doesn't answer,
oh, lover boy.
And if he still doesn't answer,
then I say, baby.
From Imaginary Stations, this is Radio Ace. Email us at imaginarystations@gmail.com.
And now, the Aircheck Factory presents the amazing radio adventures of Floating Flash Frisbone. Floating Flash Frisbone, Radio Ace, America's most transient disc jockey. Floating Flash Frisbone, the jock that just can't keep a job. You'll remember last time, Radio Ace Floating Flash Frisbone was waiting for the next dog sled to take him from Staple Gun, Saskatchewan, where an avalanche had just struck the CHIT tower. As we tune in this month, the tower is now toppling in the direction where our hero is standing. Could this be the end? But wait, what's that? Off in the distance, the swish of helicopter blades. It's the KMPC traffic copter. In an effort to get away from the smog, they decided to head just a little north of L.A. until the air cleared and, well, Flash, not being one to pass up a free ride, hails the copter.
Hey, you guys!
And just in the nick of time. As the helicopter with Flash safely aboard begins heading south, the steel structure that was the tower of CHIT crashes down on the studios of Canada's only high-energy wall-to-wall station. The studios and record library of the 250-watt AM facility are completely destroyed at an estimated damage of $75.44. Luckily, disc jockey Ironjaw Palmer was not in the studios at the time of the destruction. He was floating a Ferranti and Teicher album while trying to make a date with Maggie Stanton, the station secretary. And so, our hero, Floating Flash Frisbone, is safe, but once again out of work. But not for long. On the floor of the KMPC traffic copter, he finds a copy of Broadcasting Magazine. As per usual, he begins reading it from back to front. Under Help Wanted Announcers, he reads,
"Are you a communicator? We need you. Popular media market talk show in early evenings." Early evenings? That's my favorite shift. Right, Box 94, Broadcasting Magazine. Hot dog!
And Flash immediately addresses one of the envelopes containing his audition tape and resume. As soon as he gets dropped off, he'll put it in the mail. And then it's just a matter of waiting. You know, it's a funny thing about radio. The station in the blind box ad turned out to be the same one that fired Flash just 2 weeks earlier. But things in broadcasting being what they are, Flash beat out the other two applicants, a dropout from the Matchbook School of Radio and TV, and the station's janitor. So we join Flash now at his first day back on the air at WYAP, Yammer Radio 94, in Keokuk, Iowa. Let's listen.
And the number is 245 TALK. That's 245 Talk on the Frizz phone. Hey, we had a big city council meeting last night. We got an open line tonight. Talk about anything you want to talk about at 245 TALK. And we have five open lines right now. So you can call right now. And there's five open lines. Hey, how about, what do you think about it? Who do you think should run for president? Huh? You think it should be Carter? Or what? 245 TALK, that's 245 Talk on the Frizz phone on WYAP in Keokuk. Hey, it's nice to be back. We have five open lines right now, and this is your show. This is open line tonight. Talk about anything. It's 245 TALK. It's 245 Talk. And what about the Olympics, huh? What do you think about that, eh? Was that right to thing to do? And you think where do you think we should have the Olympics? And it's 245 talk TLK and Yammer Radio, Yap 94, and you got open lines right now. 5 open lines. Listen, I think what we need is more taxes. You know, I mean, how do you think they pay for all that stuff that makes America great? You know, like the Lincoln Monument. You think they built that for free, huh? Huh? Let's raise the taxes. What do you say? What do you say, Keokuk? Let's raise the taxes, huh? Let's up those taxes. And, you know, I mean, so what? I mean, you know, let's and gasoline should be $3 a gallon, too, hey? 245, TALK, got 5 open lines. 245, TALK, free right now, call. Yeah, I think they should draft women. Sure. They should send them to the front lines. They want equal? They want equal? I'll give them equal. Hey! I mean, you know, wouldn't that make trench warfare interesting if we had women in the front lines, huh? Huh? What do you think of that? What do you think of that, Keokuk? Give me a call. 245-TALK. Come on, huh? Huh? You know what I think? I think you people are all deadheads. That's what I think. We got 5 open lines here, and nobody's calling, hey? You know, you wouldn't know how to talk if they paid you. Come on, call me, 245-TALK. This is the Frizz phone. It's your show. This isn't my show. It's your show. I mean, you know what you guys are out there listening to the radio? You're nothing but a bunch of commie pinko fags. Yeah, you're probably sitting around playing with yourself instead of calling. You know, you can use those fingers for other stuff. Put them in a phone and call 245-TALK. You know, I mean, that's my opinion. What's yours? This is the Frizz phone, 245-TALK. What's the matter? Cat got your tongue, huh? You gonna call me or what? We got a call. Anyway, we got a call coming in on line one. Hello? Hello, this is the Frizz phone. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'd like a large with extra cheese and sausage and pepperoni and onions. So that's for John Bellanger. Hello?
Goodbye. All right, now look. All right, I told the clown that owns this poor excuse of a radio station, I told him, I said, there's two things that'll get me back on the air. Thing number one, you get rid of Bob's used cars because he really took me for a ride in that Pinto. I'm not kidding you. I still say that was the lousiest deal I ever had. Okay, he said, we'll put him on in the earlier show. Okay, fine. And then I said, number two, you get me some good guests and some good topics. What does he give me? You know, he gives me this old stale stuff about the Olympics, this crap about the taxes. I mean, it's the same stuff that nobody ever called about before. You people are all deadheads. You people are all, listen, I mean, you know, I'm ready to use the F word. You people don't know nothing about what, got a call on line two. Hello, this is the Frizz phone.
Mr. Frizz phone, this is the general manager's office. You're fired.
I know I should have hired the janitor.
Well, it looks like our hero is out of work again, but totally undaunted.
Mom was right!
Join us next month for the further continuing...
I'm gonna kill myself!
Hopefully continuing adventures of... Floating Flash Frizzbone! Radio Ace! We hope to see you next month.
I'm gonna go stick my fingers in a transmitter! This isn't worth it!
And if Flash does do himself in, what will the recording studio do for the next 10 episodes that have been contracted? For answers to these and other poignant questions, join us next month for the further adventures of Floating Flash Frizzbone. The Adventures of the Radio Ace are produced at Studio B in Marquette, Michigan.
Have a little fun. Gotta have $15 when you pull it, my God. Oh, pretty mama, your daddy's got them people blue. Oh, pretty mama, your daddy's got them people blue. And when you go down in the cellar, put your money. Oh, your money in your pants, and women in detail. Have a little fun. You have your $15 in your own car. Oh, a pretty mama. You daddy's got to be the blue.
Sometimes I think it's hanging down on me, and it's a hitchhike 100 miles. I'm a ragamuffin child wearing finger painted smiles. I left my shadow waiting down the road for me a while. Cloudy, my thoughts are scattered and they're cloudy. They have no borders, no boundaries. They echo and they swell from Tolstoy to Tinkerbell, down from Berkeley to Carmel. Got some pictures in my pocket and a lot of time to kill. Hey sunshine, I haven't seen you in a long time. Why don't you show your face and bend my mind? These clouds stick to the sky like a floating question, why they'll linger there to die. They don't know where they're going, and my friend neither do I.
You're tuned to Radio Ace from Imaginary Stations.
When the broadcast room's a living tomb of cracked acoustic tiles, and you're left alone with your microphone and your playlist and your dials, and the hands upon the studio clock past midnight creep towards one, it's time to take the air once more, and the graveyard shift's begun. The day shift and the engineers have all left hours ago. You close the heavy soundproof door and set your board aglow. Cue the first two records up, settle in your chair, uncap and snap the transmit switch, and you're on the air. There's magic in the radio, enchantment in the ether, a power born of mind and brain and yet a part of neither, a power to be reckoned not in kilowatts or joules, a means to let a single voice touch 500,000 souls. Oh, but when you work that graveyard shift from 1 a.m. to 5, you start to doubt that anyone's out there or alive. The halls are lifeless, the phone is dead, and there's nothing quite so lonely as to call with kilowatts and reply here, silence only. They usually stick the rookie jocks in a lonely graveyard slot, but me, I broadcast nights by choice. I like that shift a lot, 'cause when I get the lonelies, as I do from time to time, I recall the Sandman's final show of 1969. 1960 radio was awful at its best. I grew up with Cousin Brucey and the Wolfman and the rest. And between the fast talk and the hype and the acne lotion jingle and station breaks with sound effects, they'd maybe play a single. But that was all there was back then, and that was all we had. and nostalgia finds a way to sift the good from all the bad. And so intertwined was radio with fond scenes of my youth that it's tinted with a rosy glow that overlays the truth. Oh, and summer parties at the beach and every high school date, those midnight drives in my dad's olds and studying till late, they're all movies in my memory. And behind them I still hear the Beach Boys and the Beatles and the Motown, oh, so clear to the counterpoint of DJ hype and ads for Rheingold beer. But then in 67, FM burst upon the scene, where once played only Bach and Brahms became a rock fan's dream. Between the sparse commercials, they'd play three songs in a row, and album cuts and full-length versions played in stereo, and gone was all the mile-a-minute brainless DJ chatter and singing station breaks and other oral fecal matter. Instead, these guys with wit and charm told what they had to tell and spoke as if they thought that I might have some brains as well. I got to know them all by voice that summer, and come fall I hung around the station till I came to know them all. Bill Clancy in the morning slot, Aunt Stacy, Charlie West, and the Sandman. Well, he was different and apart from all the rest. Paul Sandman did the overnights. He had a special style. He was older than the others, been around a while. He'd segue different album cuts in a stream of conscious run, do theme sets, live concert tapes. Boy, he made listening fun. And though he must have known my name, he always called me Kid. But he let me watch him work, and he'd explain the things he did. And once or twice, he snuck me in the studio late at night and let me cue the tapes and records up to my delight till I wandered back home bleary-eyed as it was getting light. And as the record spun, he sat and talked of days gone by when radio was younger. So was he. And so was I. While round his lonely Kansas farmhouse snowdrifts blew and curled, the radio was a living color window on the world. He said, there was magic in the radio, enchantment in the ether, a power born of mind and brain and yet a part of neither, a way to take you miles and years by means unknown to science, but it's since become a jukebox, nothing more than an appliance. I can tell you got the itch, kid. You'd like to be a jock? Oh, give it up. The magic's gone. There's nothing left but schlock. You deal with all the crazies and the drugged-out suicide calls and the sponsors and the FCC who got you by the throat. And programming tells you what to play, and they take no denying. You read copy advertising crap you'd never think of buying. The hours are long. The pay is squat. Vacations... But then the cut would end, and he'd face the mic and weave magic once again. Well, sure enough, he read me right. I guess he could recognize a little of his own obsession shining from my eyes. And when I left for school that fall in higher education, my first stop was to make a beeline for the radio station. Throughout my freshman year, I learned the ropes and paid my dues. I engineered, did commercials, swept, read the news. By the time I was a sophomore, I'd earned a weekly show. I was on the graveyard shift, I was on the radio. And I learned Paul Sandman was a name that every DJ knew. The trade rags did his story. He got a piece in Newsweek, too. And sometimes, playing album sides from my deserted station, I'd tune in his show on my headphones just for inspiration. And so it was on New Year's Eve of 1969. School was out. They'd all gone home. The station was all mine. Yep. There was I, the rookie jock, left holding down the fort, well stocked with day-old pizza pie and coffee by the quart. They had me working triple shift from 8 p.m. to 8, playing records no one listened to while partying till late. And CBS had hooked lines across the country to Times Square. And at midnight, we'd switch over to a live broadcast from there to hear the famous ball come down and ring in the new year. By 11:10, it got so dead, you just could not believe. Who the hell's listening to the radio New Year's Eve? So I queued up Tommy. That would kill a half an hour or so. Kicked off my shoes, plugged in my phones, tuned in the Sandman's show. Something's different. Something's wrong. I knew right off the bat. He's playing straight top 40. His voice is sounding flat. There's dead air between his cuts. His spots all run too long. Inside of 15 minutes, I knew something there was wrong. I let him start a record, dialed up his private line. He answered with his call letters, and I replied with mine. Well, hiya, kid. Hey, tell me, ain't you got a better way to spend your New Year's Eve than with some busted-down DJ? Heck no, I'm on the air myself. I got lots of time, and I listen to your show because it's better far than mine. But tell me, Sandman, what's with you? Is everything all right? It seems to me as if you're somewhat off your stride tonight. Everything is not all right, he answered with a frown. The Arbitron reports came out, and our ratings have gone down, and Harry Stein in programming's determined that the way to get the ratings back on top is dictate what I play. So here I sit with list in hand that says at 10:15 I should play the Righteous Brothers, followed by the Cream, and then a public service spot, and then some Moby Grape. Well, hell, they don't need a DJ to put this crap on tape. It's December 31st. The year is coming to an end, and with it ends a decade. And an era, too, my friend. And in 27 minutes, I'll switch off to Times Square. But when I return in 70, you tune in if you care to hear how good the radio could be, if it would dare. He broke off at that moment to cue up another platter, and I said goodbye. The Who were almost finished, for that matter. And exactly 27 minutes later, more or less, on cue I flipped the switch to hook us in with CBS. And while thousands in New York bade fond farewell to 69 and Guy Lombardo and his orchestra played Auld Lang Syne, I raised my slice of pizza and salute to the new year. And once more to the Sandman at the end of his career. When the network show was over with, I went back on mic. I did some inane comment about the future and the like. Did a station break, cued a record up, and then plugged my headphones in and tuned the Sandman in again. Welcome, he began, to 1970 radio. You've noticed in the past a certain blandness to this show? Seems Harry Stein's determined what your music taste should be. Well, f*** you, Mr. Harry Stein! And f*** the FCC. I've had my fill of radio. This here's my final hour, but the door's locked and bolted, and I'm on internal power, and I suppose they'll find a way to get me out eventually. But until then, you'll see how good the radio could be. And then the music started, and the magic came on strong, and how the sequence brought to light a hidden meaning to each song, and where he got those tapes and records, I'll never know. Old favorites I'd forgotten, live recordings from some show. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant.
You can't always get what you want. Where have all the flowers gone?
The Beatles singing German, Dixieland on 78s, Benny Goodman, Walter Carlos, Bessie Smith, The Roommates. This is more than playing records. This is genius. This is art. You know, this is something all should hear, and damn, I'll do my part. I open the equipment carton stowed beneath the board and rummage through the junk there till I find the proper cord, patch headphone out to preamp in, adjust the input power, and the Sandman show gets relayed out through our antenna tower. I reach out to the telephone, dial WBVA, and it's answered there by Sharon Smith, their overnight DJ. Hey, Sharon, Paul Sandman's just flipped Harry Stein the bird, and he's putting out the best damn radio you've ever heard. And there's a brotherhood amongst the radio voices of the night. They stand behind a fellow jock. They see he's in a fight. Sharon had to listen but a moment, then was gone to find a patch cord of her own to send the Sandman on. And then the phones that long I thought were dead began to light as the calls came in from miles around from listeners in the night. Whence comes this wondrous music, they would ask. And I would smile. And how come I pick it up on every station of the dial? And through the night the signal spread from station on to station as a DJ sent the Sandman and his magic across the nation till Sharon called me, laughing, shouting like she was on fire, saying, listen, someone's put the Sandman on the network wire. That's right. The lines to New York were still hooked nationwide. I flipped the switch to listen in and laughed until I cried. The Sandman must have reached some hero New York engineer who put him on the wire for the whole damn world to hear. There was magic in the air that night. Enchantment in the ether. A power born of craft and pride and so much more than ether. And all across the country sat the overnight hardcore and shared the Sandman's magic. Till at 4:20 he stopped to say goodbye as they were breaking down the door. New Year's Day dawned cold and gray with just a touch of sleet, and many a jock by 9 o'clock found himself on the street. Me, I came off cheap. A reprimand was all I got. But New Year's night, a new voice broadcast from the Sandman slot. And since that night, the radio's become my occupation. I'm now a big shot DJ at a major FM station. But when the hours start to drag and the night's going slow, I cue up an album side, crank up my headphone stereo, and tune into the Sandman, now on public radio. And when the broadcast room's a living tomb of cracked acoustic tiles, and you're left alone with your microphone and your playlist and your dials, though the airwaves seem a graveyard of lifeless, whitened bone, there's always someone listening in, and you're really not alone.
Thank you.
From Imaginary Stations, this is Radio Ace.
And now, the Aircheck Factory presents the amazing recorded adventures of Floating Flash Frisbone. Flash Frisbone, the most transient radio personality in the universe. The jock who's been fired so many times he never unpacks his suitcase. Flash Frisbone, who with the amazing power to change formats in the middle of an ARB sweep, travels from one station to another in a never-ending search for cumes, justice, and an occasional free lunch. You'll remember, in our last Thrill-A-Minute episode, our hero, Floating Flash Frisbone, was on his way to stick his fingers in the transmitter of Yap Radio, Keokuk's talk station, to commit suicide after being fired for the second time when he lost his cool on the air, again, after saying all kinds of unkind things about the population of Keokuk and the station management. As we join this month's adventure, Flash is walking down the hall with determination on putting an end to his career. Let's listen.
I can't stand this anymore. I'm going to just do it in. I'm going to stick my fingers in a transmitter, and that's going to be that.
But Flash's train of suicidal thoughts is interrupted as he notices scotch taped to the station's bulletin board an ad clipped from radio and records.
You know oldies. If you can handle an oldies format, we need you. Right to box B22, radio and records. Hot dog, I got another job, old boy. I'm going to get this one. There's nothing stopping me.
We now journey to the studios and offices of WESE 780 in Retirement Village, Florida. Flash is speaking with the general manager, Octogenarian. And it looks like our hero has landed another gig.
Well, Frisbane.
Frisbone.
Whatever. Since you're the only applicant, I guess you're hired.
Yeah?
Well, we were honestly looking for someone with a bit more mature voice to replace Harry, God rest him. But as long as you don't talk, you'll do.
You mean I can't say nothing?
Well, not for now, anyway. But, well, if you're with us as long as Harry was, your voice would probably mature, no doubt. Good old Harry. He did morning since 23. Now, listen, Frisboo. Do you understand what we're all about here?
Oh, yeah, the ad said oldies, and I mean, I'm really into oldies. I love oldies. Oldies is my favorite.
Ah, yeah, that's right, Frisboo.
Frisboo.
Whatever. The music of today is rubbish. It's the old stuff that reaches the WESE listener.
Yeah, well, just what are your demographics anyway?
Adults. Adults, of course. Yeah. Adults. 85 plus.
85 what?
85 years of age, of course.
Huh?
Yeah. When those big programmers came in from Chicago, I was a little nervous. I thought they'd change our format, but, well, considering the median age here in Retirement City, and the fact that we've been doing the same thing since 1922, well, they didn't change a thing. Oh, they gave us one of those newfangled station slogans. WESC 780 is now called Edison 78. And we have jingles, too, but, well, them's the only changes in 59 years. Except old Harry's gone. Old Harry. Gosh, I miss old Harry.
Yeah, well, Mr. Genarian, when you say oldies, just how old do you mean? You know, like Fats Domino?
Fats who?
Sinatra?
Who?
Rudy Valley?
That punk!
Never. Matt Whiteman!
Noise! Listen, Flush!
Flash.
Whatever. We were into nostalgia in 23. Nothing modern ever hits these airwaves. We're out to deliver those 85-plus demographics. Now, listen! Are you with us?
Yeah, I guess so. Hey, there aren't any other radio stations around here, are there?
Well, let's see. There used to be a Spark Gap ship-to-shore station, but I think they folded.
Well, looks like I'm your boy.
Good, good. Listen, you'll start tomorrow. You'll be doing mid-mornings, just like old Harry.
Oh, boy, mid-mornings, my favorite shift.
Yeah, well, Victor Windup, our sign-on man, will show you the ropes, and then you'll take over at 10 a.m.
Oh, boy, great, wonderful. Listen, I'll be ready and work. Boy, that's going to be great. I just can't wait.
Well, does this mean Floating Flash Frisbone finally has a job? Will he be able to adjust to not being able to talk on the air? Will he be able to slip cue shellac discs a quarter of an inch thick? And what about Elma Gluck? Don't miss next month's thrill-a-minute episode of Floating Flash Frisbone Radio Ace!
From Imaginary Stations, this is Radio Ace. Email us at imaginarystations@gmail.com.
desire.